You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Father, thank you, God, for the healings that have already taken place. Hearts being encouraged, vision increasing, faith rising. Thank you, the best days of C3, Lord God, are still ahead of us. Thank you for this campus, God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing here. And Lord, we vow to give you the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give the worship team and the band a big hand clap? Come on, do that one more time. Awesome. You may be seated. And these time people, they started my 35 minutes, like right away, right when I hit the platform, bam, it started going. It's like, wow, all right, it's fantastic. Hey, listen, I'm sorry I do foot stomps. That's just crazy. So if I do something and something goes off, then it's okay. Take it out of my honorarium, all right? And so just so glad to be here. I normally don't do Sunday nights. We have Saturday night, 3 Sunday mornings. And so my wife is at home relaxing, watching whatever she's watching. And I'm here with the greatest church. All right, maybe you don't believe it. I'm here with the greatest church, and there we go. Awesome. Now, don't be mad at me, but my favorite campus is North Campus. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. Come on, North Campus, shout me down, right? Don't be mad at me. Yeah. So I know some of you were here this morning, and I just want to just give honor to whom honor is due, we wouldn't be here unless a couple, come on, heard the voice of God, stepped from one nation to another nation. And, you know, I wanted to FaceTime your pastor and just let him know that we're packed out and you're crazy and you're wild. But he hasn't responded. He's probably, I don't know what he's doing. So who knows? I'm not going to make any conjecture about what he's doing. But I want to give honor, not just because they were here if I'm preaching, but I want to give honor to your pastors. Come on, Pastor Jurgen and Pastor Leanne. Can we give them just thank God for their ministry? Come on, we just love them, honor them, grateful for them. Some of my dearest friends on the planet. Got to be honest, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, I mean, they love them at our church. And Pastor Jurgen, the man of 1,000 voices. And it's unfair. It's unfair how they could be so good looking. Seriously. It's like, you know, to qualify, you got to be a model or something like that. It's just crazy how good looking and just how just nice they are and just love them. So thank you for allowing me to come and yell at you for the next 32 minutes. And so I know what some of you are thinking. Oh my gosh! I mean, we thought pastors' jeans were skinny. I mean, these are super skinnies. Yeah, they are. They actually, if I showed you the label, they'd say super skinny. Why are you wearing super skinnies? Because you can't. When you got legs like a woman, come on, you got to show them off, baby. Show these bad boys off. I know women. Some men are blessed with them. That's all I got to say. Listen. I used to be ashamed of these, but now I just like, Lord, thank you for these legs, man. They look good in skinny jeans. Amen. Your legs don't look bad, Pastor. I mean, they look like man's legs, though. That's the problem. If you're gonna wear skinny jeans, you gotta have women legs, man. Amen. When I go to the beach, the shirt never comes off, but I always got the real high shorts as I'm walking around. Come on, red Speedos, baby. Will you rock those bad boys? Amen. You got a bob. I got a bib. Belly in belt. Just saying. You don't want me to show you the six-pack. Come on. Anyway, I'm married to a beautiful wife named Wendy. Have 3 beautiful kids. My wife is Caucasian, in case you don't know. Politically correct term for being white. She's white, like... No tan white, like nightlight white. Like cover yourself because we want to go to sleep white. That's And my wife will tell you that she, when she preaches, she says, I'm just white. I'm white. Like white. And so I'm not Middle Eastern. I know some of you think that. Nothing wrong with that. Please, nothing wrong with some of my friends are great people from the Middle East. Awesome. It's all good. But I'm not Pakistani, Iraqi, Iranian. I'm actually, come on, Mexican. Amen. Hispanic. And in case you don't know us, Hispanics, we are the number one minority group in America now. Just letting you know, those are the facts. Don't be mad at me. So I'm Hispanic. My wife is Caucasian. We have three coconuts at home called kids. You know that, right? Brown on the outside. Come on, white in the inside. That's what coconuts are. Come on, I got a lot of young people. Got to keep them in it, right? So my oldest is 16, good looking. He looks like me just with hair, okay? Just imagine that, okay? And wide shoulders. I'm serious. He's like Michael Phelps. I mean, his shoulders are so stinking wide. I'm like, where'd you get those from, man? You have the body I want, you know. And then I have my Bellaboo. My Bellaboo is as tall as her mom now. She's like 5'6" and long legs, just beautiful. And she's made me get a gun, and I'm going to shoot every man around, man. She's beautiful. Just love her. And they're all involved in church. They teach, and she leads worship. My 12-year-old leads worship with the kids, and she's on the dance team and all that kind of stuff. Then I have my 9-year-old, Benaya. Benaya is, his head is half shaved, long on the one side. He's got tattoos, riding a Harley and chewing tobacco. I'm just the guy. And loves Jesus, man. He loves Jesus. He said he wants to be, he said, Dad, listen, he said, Dad, he didn't say, Dad, I want to be a youth pastor. He said, Dad, I'm going to be the world's greatest youth pastor. I said, absolutely, son, you're going to be the world's greatest youth pastor. I love my family. I miss them, and I'm spending time with you tonight, and I'm grateful for it, but you better give me some amens, because, listen, I can preach a long time. I'll preach till the next service, which is Wednesday. I'm seeing y'all laughing, but turn that clock off. I didn't come over here just to preach 32 minutes. I'll tell you that right now. Is anybody hungry? Does anybody want God? Does anybody want to just blow the lid off this place? Does anybody want Jesus to do something significant? Amen. So let's just get into the word here, and I got a word for you. I want you to grab your Bibles, and most of you are millennials, so grab your glow-in-the-dark Bible right here, your iPhone 7, if you have that one from Samsung that blows up and burns up. Don't turn it on here, please. iPhones are in heaven and Samsungs are on fire. They go to the other place. Just don't be mad. Just convert in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus has an iPhone 7. Amen. 7 is God's number of perfection. Come on. Just saying. Galaxy 6. 6 is the number 666. I'm just telling you right now. It's just bad. Just bad. One's from God. Manna from heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings, here we go. We'll just go right away. Just jump right into it. 2 Kings, I gotta read this one. That one's way too small over there. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1, it says, but Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel. Don't know what a shekel is. Don't know what 2 seahs are. It doesn't even matter. At the gate of Samaria. And then the captain whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes. You shall see it. You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die also. So now, come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. I love this. So they arose at twilight and went to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp, now if I was in Las Vegas, I'd read this way. So they rose at twilight to go to the hotel. Come on, Bellagio. And when they came to the edge of the Bellagio, behold, there was no one there. Come on, somebody. No one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and horses and the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of Egypt to come against us. And so they fled away in the twilight and abandoned, come on, all their tents, their horses and donkeys, leaving the camp as it was and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came, come on, to the Bellagio, they went in to the Bellagio and ate and drank at the buffet, and they carried off, Come on, they carried off all the Chanel. Come on, somebody, and all the clothes and all the gold and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another casino. Come on, and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Now we're going to, I think, fast forward to verse 16. Then the people went out, because what happens now? The lepers just run and tell the king of Israel this great, incredible story, right? And the people are like, oh, my goodness, what happened? Did God just do a miracle? So then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have a charge of the gate. And the people trampled him at the gate so that he died, as the man of God had said, when the king came down to him. Verse 18, for when the man of God had said to the king, 2 seahs of barley shall be sold for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria. The captain had answered the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Verse 20, and so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. Trampled him in the gate, and he died. Lord, help me, Lord, to preach this, I don't know how, in 26 minutes. Let there be a miracle. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Let me see how honest you are, okay, because a lot of you didn't hear me this morning, okay, because you were sleeping in, you were backsliding, and you came to church tonight. How many would rather be in church right now, than the nicest hospital, come on, in San Diego? Can I just see your hand? I mean, oh, my goodness, like 25% count didn't raise their hand. It must have been really cute nurses, right? How many would rather be in service right now than the nicest prison or jail? Come on. In San Diego, some of you still aren't raising your hands, all right? Free mortgage, you don't have to pay utilities. Okay, I get it. How many would rather be in church right now than the nicest beaches of Hawaii? Raise your hand. You're a liar. You're lying. You know where liars go? To heaven once you repent. Amen. In Jesus' name. I must tell you, I'd rather be in Hawaii right now. With my wife, then preaching to C3 Church. But I'm here, so let's make the best of it in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, and write down, if you take notes, write this down in your iPhone or your Samsung. Write this down. I want you to write this down. Just write this down. Start walking. Start walking. Start moving. Start walking. Right? Start walking. Just start walking. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Start walking. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it looks like you need to start walking. Just tell them that right now. Just don't do that. Don't do that. I believe that as we entered in 2017, I believe we entered into a prophetic season. I believe that we had chaos and confusion in 2016, really in regards to the political system, the racial system, all kinds of things that were happening in America and around the world. But I believe that in 2017, we're walking into a prophetic season. I think we're walking into a prophetic season of perfection, of God perfecting that which he started. I believe that your best days, come on, are not ahead of you there right now. I believe that that God is actually walking this church, walking this campus, walking South Campus, walking Central Campus into his greatest era, its greatest day. I believe that some of you, come on, have to walk out of 2016 out of some kind of tragedy or sorrow or pain, but you made it to 2017. See, the devil should have killed you in 2016, but he couldn't kill you because watch me, if you're not dead, God still has a plan for your life. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere with this. Oh, yeah, because I actually feel that in my own life that I just had to keep on walking. Sometimes when you don't understand things, you just have to keep on walking. Sometimes you don't understand everything. You just say, you know what? No, I'm going to walk by faith. Come on, some of you this morning, and not by sight. That literally I begin to walk not by what I see or perceive, but I walk by what I believe that God says to me. I believe that the reality that I see with my eyes, it may be real, but there's a greater reality in the spirit. I actually believe there's a supernatural realm that supersedes the realm that we have. Thus, the man that was in the hospital, and they said he was going to die, he is now out of ICU, and now he's going to come home from the hospital because our God is a healing God. Somebody give God a 10-second praise break right now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe that sometimes you just got to just start walking. And the text that we read in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. And let me give you a quick backdrop. There's a huge famine that's happening right now in 2 Kings chapter 7. It's a massive famine. In fact, if you go back in chapter 5 and chapter 6, you realize it's one of the worst famines that has ever hit Israel. It is so bad, the Bible says, that in about chapter 6, I believe, it says this. It says that now they are selling, watch me now, dove's dung and donkey's heads. They are literally selling donkey's heads, watch, for thousands of dollars, and dove's dung, watch, dove's dung for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It is so bad that they're cooking now donkey's heads and dove's dung. Now, what does that represent? Donkey's heads represent, watch, the wisdom of men. And what is dove's dung? Where the spirit was, not where he is. It represents a system of religion. It represents just what we always talk about. Well, you know what God did, and remember back then, and remember how great God moved. My friends, I am grateful for my past. I don't want to live there. I am grateful for the miracles of yesterday, but God has something for us today. I don't want to live by the wisdom of man. I want to live, come on, by the wisdom of God. The famine gets so bad, they're not just, watch me, buying dove's dung and donkey's heads, but now they're actually beginning to boil their kids. This is in the Bible. So two women both have young children, and they say, we're going to boil your son today and eat your son, and then we're going to boil your son tomorrow. And so one lady, she boils her son, and they eat their son, eat the son, and then the next day, the other mother hides the son. It's a terrible day when there's a famine in the land. It's a terrible day when famine hits. And let me tell you what's happening in America and around the world. There's a famine of the Word of God. And when there's a famine of the Word of God, children are expendable. Oh, we're not boiling our kids. We're killing them in the womb. Okay, you don't want me to go there. I'm just saying. What happens when there's a famine of the Word of God? Amos says there's going to come a day when there's a famine of the Word of God. But I thank God for C3 Church. I thank God for Jurgen and Leanne and every pastor, every leader that we're going to stand up and say in San Diego, there is not a famine of the Word of God here. We will preach the Word of God. So watch this. The famine gets so bad that literally the king now hears about them boiling the kids, and the king of Israel, he now rips his clothes, and he begins to mourn and begin to weep and to wail, and he begins to cry out, and he actually blames God and blames the prophet Elisha. And Elisha now gets blamed because of the problems in his nation. And so what happens now, we get a glimpse now of Isaiah, 2 Kings chapter 7, and here's where we pick up the story in verse 1. Now what happens is Elisha begins to come in and begins now to speak to the king, and he says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, and he begins to prophesy. Listen, if you are going to move into your miracle, if you're going to see all that God has for you, number one, you must listen to the right message. Elisha speaks a message, and he says, hear the word of the Lord that we're speaking to and through the prophet. The message is, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be a miracle so huge that what's costing thousands of dollars is going to cost pennies on the dollar. He prophesies a 24-hour miracle. I actually still believe that God can do and does, come on, 24-hour miracles. I'm glad I'm in a church, come on, that believes in miracles. I'm glad that I'm in a church that believes in breakthroughs. I'm glad that I'm in a church that believes that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of things in heaven, things on earth, and under the earth. I'm glad I'm in a church that believes that Jesus defeated the devil at the cross over 2,000 years ago, and we can live in victory because of Jesus. Now this is so crazy because he prophesies a 24-hour miracle. I cannot figure out God's timing, but I do know that when he moves, many times he moves quickly. 24-hour miracle, 24-hour miracle. I remember it was not too long ago, some of you have heard the story, when we were in recession and things were getting worse in Las Vegas, and I personally lost 55% of value in my house. My house went from $1 million down to $450,000. I could tell you about our church land, right? Our church land that we bought for $3.8 million. By the time the recession had hit, that same piece of land was worth $700,000. I could tell you that our church, we were worth over $11 million. And when the recession hit, when you calculate it all up, we were only worth about $4.2 million. We were going through all kinds of stuff. And I'm saying, God, I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. We're negotiating with the bank. And I'm sitting at standing at Disneyland, my wife's happiest place on earth. Yeah, I'm not an anti-boycott Disney. I can't, because my wife actually believes there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and somewhere there's Mickey over there. I don't know. So much so that we live in Las Vegas and we're annual passport holders. Go figure that one out. It's like, babe, we can't even go there in 30 minutes. It takes us 4 hours. It's okay. We're going to spend all that money. We're going to become annual passport holders. All right. Fantastic. And so I'm at Disney, right? I'm at Disney. And watch, I'm needing a $2.7 million miracle. Now, for some of you, didn't go, wow, because that's not much money. Afterwards, we're going to take up another offering for the church, okay? I'm just saying. We got some high rollers in this place, man. Got some ballers right here. I mean, I'm telling you right now. It's like $2.7 million. Okay, tell me something new. I don't even know. Like, wow. Tell me. That's pocket change. So I remember I'm at Disneyland, and my phone rings, my cell phone rings. And somebody says to me, they go, is this Benny Perez? I said, who is this, right? How'd you get my number? Who is this? And he said, we heard you're in trouble. Who is this? Like, I don't know you. Orale, I don't know you. You're not from my neighborhood. If I don't know you, I cut you. I don't know who you are. There you go. The guy goes, I got your number from so-and-so. I say, okay, but, and he says, listen to me, I know you're in trouble. What he did not know is I only had 30 days left to raise $2.7 million. My back was against the wall. We're going to lose everything, right? And my wife says, well, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go to Disneyland. True story. So I'm at Disney, right, and my phone, and I start talking. My wife says, why do you always do business at Disneyland? Listen, we're on family vacation. I said, Wendy, go on It's a Small World. I've been on that ride, I don't know, a million times. I can sing the song. I know every movement. It's a small world after. I know it all, okay? Go on the ride. Leave your man alone. She goes on the ride, and make a long story short, right? That guy goes, what do you need? I said, sir, this is what I need. I said, I need $2.7 million in 30 days. I'm in a famine. He says, that's all you need? I said, actually, I need $5.7 million. That's what I need. It's a true story. It's really true. I'm not making it up. It's a true story. He goes, okay, I'll call you back. Right? Dang, just hangs up on me. I'm like, what? My wife smiles, you know, in line, and so she's all waving. I'm like, go ahead. She goes in, and, you know, they're riding, and the phone rings. Hey, Benny, this is Ron. Okay, Ron, this guy's from Canada. He doesn't even live in the country. Never been to my church. He's watched me over the internet. He's never seen it. I mean, I don't even know him. Because we prayed. Said, good. And God spoke. Good. He goes, so what we're going to do is we're going to wire you $700,000. It's going to hit your church's bank account within 24 hours when your CFO gives us the information. I said, hold it. Hold on. Now, some of you, you're just like, you're all quiet. That's not what I did. I covered my phone. Some of you don't even know this word. I got Pentecostal. Oh, no, I went Latin Pentecostal, Black Pentecostal. I started shout. I took out my white handkerchief. Three black folks are only jumping up. Everybody else is like, hey, right there. Yeah. All the white people are like, yeah, okay. Whatever. I let my ethnicity out. I'm like, yes, gloria a Dios, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Ha, ha. Then he says to me, but I know that you're wondering, where's the other 2 million come? I said, yes, sir. I perceive you're a prophet. He goes, so the $700,000 is a gift you don't have to pay back. And we're going to lend you $2 million at 0% interest rate. There's your $2.7 million. Now, unless you've ever had your back against the wall and God does a 24-hour miracle, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you know what I'm talking about, somebody should give God a 10-second... Sit down, you're scaring somebody. We must ask ourselves, C3, the following questions. What am I listening to and who am I listening to? Why should I be concerned? Because your faith will grow based upon what you choose to believe. Remember, it's not what you hear, but what you believe. I heard all along when I was growing up, because I grew up in a very high racial tension area. I was Hispanic going to a mostly all white, very rich, wealthy school that somebody paid for me to go to. Everybody was driving back in the day their VW Rabbits, the white ones. Trans Ams, come on, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Trans Ams with the eagle, come on the hood. Come on, you don't even know. It's worth some money right now. I was driving a 1974 Datsun 710. Four-door, baby. Oh, yeah, faded out purple with white vinyl interior. I saved up money, went to One Day Auto Paint, got that bad boy charcoal gray with a pinstripe on the side. I got fake hubcaps that look like rims. Come on. Got me a Pioneer pullout speaker. Come on, system. I mean, and I'm rolling. And you could hear me coming because my brakes had gone out and it was metal on metal. Come on. And you know what? I could go by what people told me, and I heard a lot of stuff. You'll never succeed. You'll never do anything with your life. You're just going to be mediocre. You're just going to be like the rest of your family. You're not going to break out. You're not going to do anything different. But my friends, watch me. You could hear some things. It's not what you hear. It's what you choose to believe. I believe that I'm an overcomer. I believe I'm a son or daughter of God. I believe that I'm above and not below. I'm the head and not the tail. I am blessed going in and blessed going out. I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I believe that God is with me. God is for me. God is able. I believe what God says. So it's interesting, sit down. So it's interesting, sit down, please, you're bothering me. So what happens is, it's very weird because I grew up in church. I'm the first Christian in my family, got saved at a Baptist church. You were saved at a Presbyterian. Baptist is just a little bit higher, a little bit louder, but not much more, okay? And so I got saved, and I used to hear this all the time, and I realized it wasn't true. So don't say amen to this phrase. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. That's not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's propagated. It's a lie. Somebody like, oh my God, he's a heretic. I can't believe he just said that. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. No, no, no. It's a lie. God don't need you. God said it. It settles it. Listen, you can be agnostic in here, atheist, Hindu, Muslim, you can believe whatever you want to believe, okay? But it doesn't change the fact that God said it, and it settles it. God don't need Benny Perez to settle it. He's already settled it. Okay, so watch. if God's word, see, because God's word is true no matter what. It's true whether you believe it or not. It's true whether I believe it or not. So if God's word, watch me, doesn't become true when I believe it because God said it, that settles it, so it's true. Then what happens when I believe it? God's word does not become, watch me, true when you believe it. It becomes transformational. Try this section over here. We have to understand that when I believe God's word, it doesn't become true. Back it up. It's true because God already said it. But when I believe it, now it becomes transformational in my life. So now the truth of God's word becomes transformational in my life when I choose to believe it. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, come on, by the renewing of your mind. How does your mind be renewed? It's renewed. It is changed, come on, by the word of God. The word of God now becomes transformational when you believe it. When you believe the word of God, when you believe that, when, watch me, you put God first, God says, I see that, I honor that, and I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind. God's word becomes transformational when you realize the reason why I forgive is because if I don't forgive, I'm actually the prisoner. Unforgiveness is like, you know, it's like giving somebody, what they say, like drinking poison, thinking somebody else is going to die. Transformational. I want to be transformed. I've been in ministry for 30 years, and I just feel like I'm just getting started. I know there's a bunch of young guys, and I cheer them on, and the young people that are coming up, and the young preachers are coming up, and I love them. I'm mentoring some of them. But let me tell you something. I'm not done yet with my race. I'm not done with what God has for me. I need to transform my mind and say, God, I still believe for greater things, better things. I want to see more people get saved. More buildings being built, the church expanding and growing. What happens when you believe the word of God? It becomes transformational. I'm not the same guy that I was just a few years ago. And the more I believe the word of God, my life begins to be transformed. You see, you have to really understand, listen to me, that you need to vet the voices that you're listening to. That you cannot just listen to every voice. You need to listen to the right message. Number two, I got to hurry. Number two, then, we need to resist the voices that are based on seeing. I want you to put a verse 2 on the screen for me in 2 Kings chapter 7. And what happens is the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God. So here's the scene. Elisha, who's always with his servant Gehazi. Interesting, Gehazi is absent from the scene. He is not there because if you read the text, earlier Gehazi, because of greed, chases after somebody, lies, and he takes the money and hides it, and now he gets struck with leprosy, and Gehazi should actually be in the throne room speaking to the king, but now he's not even in the throne room. He's somewhere because he's been now hit with leprosy, and watch this, and now the Bible says the prophet is there, speaks his prophetic word to this man, this king, and the Bible says this, watch, the king is leaning on the advisor on his right. Anytime you're on the right hand of the king, that signifies a place of position, power, and prestige. The king hears the word, listen, but doesn't respond to the word. The king was leaning on the wrong source. The king was leaning upon an officer on his right, and the officer actually gives a response. Here's my big takeaway. Be careful on who or what you're leaning on. The king was leaning on someone who is saying, I'm just calling it like I see it. I call it like I see it. I just call it like I see it. Like that's never going to happen. I'm just calling it like I see it. Like you start sharing a dream with somebody and they say, that'll never happen. I'm just calling it like I see it, bro. I'm just calling it like I see it. Listen, we don't got time to call it as I see it. I need to call it as God says it. Oh. Here's the question. What are you leaning on? Are you leaning on your friends, your money, your possession, your reasoning? Because this advisor said, you know what? Even if God himself would open up the windows of heaven, this miracle could not happen. He was now leaning on reason, and he was resisting revelation. The biggest battle in our world today is reason versus revelation. When you begin to reason your way out of a miracle, God says, I want to reveal your miracle by revelation, not by reasoning. It's not reasonable. It's not reasonable to give. It's not reasonable. Like people say, oh, my God, that whole tithe thing, oh, my gosh. It's like really? That tithe thing is like a scheme. It's just a way. What you don't understand is the tithe, watch me, violates your reasoning. Because God wants you to resist reasoning and receive revelation. If you're going to do a tweet, I'm at Benny Perez. You better give me credit for that one. Listen, God wants you to resist the reasoning and receive the revelation. See, here's the problem. And I tell it with my church all the time. It's that you're fighting God over every dime, over every dollar. I don't have time to tell you how I was the largest avocado distributing company. I don't got time for that. But it's a great story, right? And when I made my money, I had 10 $1 bills. I laid it out. And my dad said, the first one goes to God. I'm just a kid. You know what I did? I'm going, wow, I get to keep 9? Here's what the devil does. The devil, watch me, maximizes God's prohibition and minimizes God's provision. How many trees you can eat from? Well, God actually said all of them but one, and he went after the one. God says, I always have one for me. When Joshua was going into the promised land, you know how many cities they had to take? They had to take 10. 10 cities were in the promised land. Do your homework. It's true. What did God say about the first city? The first city belongs to me. Give me Jericho. Give me the first one. If you give me the first one, I'll give you everything else. But watch. We go with reasoning, though. We go with reason. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this. It says, trust in the Lord, right, with all your heart. It says what? Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. I love this in the ESV. He will make. That word make is forceful. It means God will actually cause you. He's gonna bend your path straight again. He's going to put you back on the right path again. He's going to begin to say, nope, you can't go that way. I let you go this way, because a straight path is quicker to your destiny than a crooked path. What are you leaning on? I see that. What are you leaning on? And the wrong response comes from this officer. He says, God cannot make it happen. And what does Elisha say? Elisha says, nope. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. You're going to see it with your own eyes, but you will not partake of it. What a terrible thing to see the blessing of God, but don't participate in the blessing of God. I don't want to live my life seeing everybody else get something, and I'm just kind of sitting on the sidelines. I refuse to be that way. See, what are you leaning on? What are you trusting? What are you believing for? Well, it's impossible. God couldn't even do it. Are you talking about a 24-hour miracle? And I will be audacious enough to say this to you, that yes, I believe that there could be a 24-hour breakthrough miracle for somebody sitting here right now, that God could turn it around, come on, within 24 hours. Listen, because I'm gonna get to my big point here. Listen to me. And the scene so abruptly changes. It is so fast. It is so quick. It actually is startling. If you're an author, this is not the way you should transition things. Because you go from the throne room, and then the very next verse it says, and there were 4 lepers sitting at the gate. I mean, in a movie, that would be a bad transition. It's like, you got to lead me.
And there were four lepers sitting at the gate.
It's like, what? I mean, it's just, it's so shocking as you go watch me from the highest of the high of influence to the lowest of the low. And God is putting something out. And there were four lepers sitting at the gate. And the four lepers sitting at the gate, they were slowly dying, losing hope, thinking they're going to be that way all their life. They are sitting there waiting to die. And I come all the way from Las Vegas to say, do you know someone who has a leper mentality? Life is slowly getting worse, not better. Everybody else gets a break but me. I'm never going to get a turnaround. This is the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. I guess I'm going to end up in this job and no better. Everybody gets a raise, a promotion. Everybody seems to be blessed but me. I already know what's going to happen. So why do I do anything? Yet many churches are filled with people that sit there outside of the gate waiting what they think is the eventual end. Why do we even hope anymore? And they just kept sitting and sitting. But all of a sudden, the lepers had an aha moment. Listen to me. I know she's playing the keyboards, but listen to me. The lepers have this aha moment. Why are we just sitting here until we die? Listen. Real change starts when you challenge your old way of thinking. They didn't wait for the famine to break because the famine was not outside, the famine was inside. They were dying on the inside because they got caught in one way of thinking. I am glad I did not settle for one way of thinking when I was 8 and I was 9 and I was 10, but I had the audacity to believe that as a Hispanic will rise up. And God, if you're looking for one, here I am, God. You could use my voice, not just to Hispanic, but to every ethnic group around the world, around the globe. And God has honored a prayer of a little Hispanic guy in Pico Rivera, California, that refused to accept the limited thinking that was previous in my family. Why are we going to sit here and die? You got to challenge some thinking this year. When we raise more money for whatever God has for C3, let's challenge our thinking and say, you know what? No, I'm going to stretch even further. The first step of change begins with our thinking. And they looked at their options. Watch their options. Are we going to sit here and die? Or you know what? We're going to get up and start walking. Because watch, I'm going to die here. So you know what? I'd rather die on my own terms. I want to die trying. Come on, there was a movie. Listen, all I know is God is looking for a response. I cannot manufacture the miracle, but something in me is saying, I refuse to stay where I am. I refuse to let my pain, my hurt, my loss, my discouragement, whatever it is, to keep me sitting outside of the gate. Listen, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die standing up. I'm going to die if I'm going to not. I'm going to die, and I'm going to begin. Watch me. See, some of you just got to get yourself understanding this. Well, if this way it's going to, I might as well just go ahead and try something. I might as well go and begin to believe again. And here's the crazy thing. There are four lepers. I studied this very quickly. And most rabbis begin to teach out of 2 Kings chapter 7. Listen to what rabbis teach. Rabbis actually teach to this day, some of them teach that the four lepers outside of the gate is Gehazi and his three sons. I'm going to go there with this one. Gehazi should have been with the prophet in the throne room. But because he made a bad decision, it looks like his life is over. Gehazi is sitting there with his three boys. And I bet you he's thinking, I remember when I used to be with the prophet. I remember when we used to call fire down. I remember when we saw miracles. In fact, we saw twice as many miracles as Elijah. I remember, man, when me and Elisha, man, we were orale from the same hood. I mean, we were we're running with your trece. I mean, we were together. See, if you never face disappointment, you'd understand it, but I have. I face things that should knock most guys out of ministry. I face death. I've seen a baby die in my wife's womb on the screen. My life was perplexed. I didn't understand. But I refused to allow my circumstances to tell me what my God can or cannot do. Listen to me, Gehazi, I believe this is Gehazi. He gets up and he says, you know what? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. If we face the enemy, we're going to die. And here's where it gets really good. The Bible says they just started to get up. Watch. And when they started moving, something began to happen. You read the text. So good. So good. Wow, so good. It says, as they begin to walk, as they begin to move, the Lord God caused their steps of faith to be magnified, watch, not in their ears, not in God's ears. It said their steps, God caused their steps of faith to be magnified in the ears of the enemy. God help me, because it's about ready to get crazy up in here. We got to read the text. They didn't feel nothing. They didn't have no God bump. They didn't have any, you know, Pan. They didn't have any Kirk Franklin, Jurgen Matisseus, Bishop Shakes. They didn't have nothing. They didn't feel nothing. They made a decision that, watch me, when I'm just going to start moving, because here's the principle. When you begin to start moving is when God starts working. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. When you begin to take steps of faith is when God begins to move. God is looking for you to say, do you trust me? Do you understand that I could do what I said I could do? And watch, as they begin to walk, God caused, watch, the enemy to hear their steps like a mighty army. You are not just one man. You're not just one woman. You got heaven backing you up. Oh, God, help me. When I pray, I got heaven backing me up. When I give, I got heaven backing me up. When I worship, I got heaven backing me up. I got heaven backing me up. No, you don't understand. You see, you think your clapping, your shouting creates energy in here, but you don't understand when you clap C3, when you worship C3, the enemy goes, why are they clapping? Why are they shouting? You know what? Some of you are going through some stuff. You shouldn't clap. You shouldn't shout. But some of you are saying, no, it's about time I get up and I begin to start. Come on. And when we begin to start walking is when God begins to start moving. Somebody shout. Come on, shout, 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 shout. Yeah. Listen to me. Stay standing. Come on, stand to your feet, because then I have to end. Stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. If you sit down, I'm going to keep going, so stand to your feet. Don't sit down. You don't know. I already got red facing me right here. This is what I know. The young man with the white hat is going like this. He's going like this. He's going like this. Wave your hand at me. All I know, and I don't know you. I can barely see you because of the lighting. That doesn't help. You got to light him up, not me. Making me darker doesn't make him lighter. I love you back there. What is it? What is it, young man, that God is saying to you? If you would just start walking, God says, I'll start moving. If you just take a step, if you just start trusting, if you just start believing. Said, It said. Every step they took, the enemy said, they've hired the Midianites and the Egyptians, the Hittites and the Egyptians, the two most powerful armies God caused the Syrians to hear. See, what you don't understand is your praise is a weapon. Your praise carries power. Your praise tells the devil you actually believe that God defeated him over 2,000 years ago at the cross. Your praise isn't tied to how you feel. Your praise isn't tied to how it's going in your life. Your praise isn't tied to your circumstances. You got to get up and start. So watch as I am. Says that they kept walking, and they got to the enemy's camp, and the enemy had fled before them because God caused them to hear a mighty army. I'm trying to tell you something, that what you do in the natural gets amplified in the spirit. This is all spiritual, what we do. Your giving gets amplified. That's why, watch out. That's why everything that was handed to Jesus got multiplied. Whatever you put in his hand gets multiplied. So watch. Lower it. I know you're trying to hurry me, but I know it's late. I know. Sorry, Pastor. Sorry. I feel something. I feel somebody is tired of just sitting and dying. You're tired of your life being the way it always is. I'm going to make a radical altar call. It could be only one. But you say, you know what? Benny Perez, you've been preaching to me. I love Jesus. I love God. But I got to be honest. I felt like I'd just been sitting. And this is my year where I'm going to get up and I'm going to start walking by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And when I begin to start walking, come on, I believe God's going to start moving. I believe that something's going to shift. So, it's not everybody, but you know I'm talking to you tonight. And when I see three, I want you to get out of your seat and come down here right now. It's not going to be everybody. It may be one, but I'm going to do it for one. Don't, if that's you, just keep coming down, because I just, come here, keep walking. Come on, raise your hands. Keep walking. Look at me. Keep walking. Look at me. Everything goes. Take it. That's real. You say, that's it. I'm breaking out. That's it. I'm not gonna be limited. This is it. What's your name? Juan, what's your last name? Vargas. Juan Vargas, you got a destiny. Juan Vargas, you have a calling. Juan Vargas, God is for you. Juan Vargas, God is for you. And I break everything off of you, every lie, in the name of Jesus. I set you free in Jesus' name now. Go! With the white hat. Where's my white hat guy? Come here. Come on up the stage with me. What's your name? Garrison. Boom. them up. Don't clap. Don't. Pick them up. Pick them up. Pick them up. Feel something for this guy. Why does he have to fall? Don't know. It's funny when we were in clubs and we drank too much and people fell out. You're like, yeah. Come on, frat parties. And you fall out and you're like, yeah. And that happens in church, like, wow. No, I'm just telling you, why do don't even go there. It's true. Right? It's like, yeah, dude. And if you were the sober one, you're like, what's wrong with you? Right? For some reason, I feel like I know you. I don't know where I know you from. Close your eyes. Jesus, I thank you right now. The word of God's going to become true to him. And you're being transformed. Transformation is a process, but it begins with an event. That's real. Boom, hit him again. Hit him again. Hit him again. Hit him again. Everything else comes off you. God says to you, you're going to live. You're going to live. You're going to live a blessed, fruitful, overcoming life. All darkness, heaviness would be broken. And freedom comes to you right now. Young lady, in the name of Jesus, here comes the power of God. Ready? One, two, three. Boom, just hit you. Bam, everything goes. Hope, life, and love fills your soul in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right now. Break, 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 break. Breaking through. Break, 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 break in the name of Jesus. There's a breaking through right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right now. In the name of Jesus. Answer every question she has. Let her know her calling is sure, your destiny is clear. Let her know, Lord God, that delay is not denial. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every tragedy, Lord God, you turn around for triumph. I thank you, Lord God, you're not intimidated by her questions. You're not intimidated, Lord God, by her humanity. But Lord, I pray for tonight, God, for revelation, oh Lord God, that Lord, if she would just begin to walk again and walk in faith again by trusting you, Lord God, when she begins to walk, Lord God, you begin to move. You begin to do something, Lord God. I release the power of God on you right now. Ready? One, two, three. Now! Boom! In your heart of hearts, in your life right now, in the name of Jesus, how great your love is. You're down at this altar. Lift your hands towards heaven because time does not give me to prophesy and talk to everyone. Lift your hands as if you're trying, like you really believe in God. Come on, just lift your hands just right now. Just lift your hands high. He's about going to come in about 5 seconds. Close your eyes. No catchers. If you feel like you're going to fall, you need to kneel down. Are you ready? One. Are you ready? Two. Come on. Ready? One, two, three. Now! Power. Power being released. Depression leaving. Oppression leaving. God, let life be, Lord God, put back into them. Let the dream live again, God. Let the dream live again, Lord God, for this guy, Ryan. Let it live again, man. Yes, sir. He's for you, not again. Boom. Feel that. There's fire on you. Feel that. Feel that. Feel that. At the age of 21 years old, I was the biggest skeptic sitting in church. I used to curse and used to mock things from every back row when I saw the power of God hit. I got saved when I was a third grader, but because of incredible diseases that hit me and I didn't understand the timing of God's healing, I backslid from 18 to 21. I used to sit in the very crevices and corners of the church. Until one meeting, a guy called me out. I said, this is a bunch of you-know-what, and I wasn't using church terms. And he said, step in the aisle, and I stepped in the aisle, and the power of God hit me and knocked me out from 30 feet away. Peeled myself off the ground. I said, what the you-know-what was that? God's not intimidated by skeptics, and God is not intimidated by critics, and God's not intimidated. Listen, I love you all. My heart goes to the critic. My heart goes to the skeptic, because I've been there. And I thank God for Jurgen and Leanne and C3 that actually believes in the power of God still. That actually believes that we can encounter God still. That actually believes in one moment your life could begin to be changed. In one moment, the power of God still. I believe that. Jesus, I thank you for that anointing. God, I got to be honest with you. I didn't think. I told my wife, I said, man, babe, I'm telling you what, something's happening on North Campus. And I know it's probably of all C3, but I feel something. Something is shifting. Something is going to a higher level. Something is going to another level. Lift your hands one more time. Say, Jesus, I receive my miracle. I believe you're causing the enemy to hear my steps. I'm going to start walking by faith, and you're going to start moving on my behalf. I thank you that what I fear, I'm walking towards. And when I get there, that fear is not going to be there, because you're with me, you're for me, Christ paid the price, and I walk in that grace in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody said amen. Can you give God a 10-second praise break? Come on, everybody. Let me do one more thing. Now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. I've gone late. I recognize that. So if you ever invite me back, I'll just deduct those minutes off of my next time. I'm an accountant, so everything has to balance. I'm not that creative. People say, why aren't you that creative? Because creative accountants go to jail. Just think about Enron. You'll get it later. There are people in here that you need Jesus. You need to receive Christ. Become a follower of Jesus. Well, I'm going to get my life better. Listen, Christianity is not about bad people becoming good. It's about dead people coming alive. We got to stop this good, bad stuff. The Bible said this way, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but that Christ now has made you alive in him. Yeah. So everybody just close your eyes. This is the way I do it. And if you do differently here, but just for my sake, just close your eyes. And pastor's going to come up and close however he wants. I just sense in my heart that somebody has come here tonight and God's been, there's a song that he's coming after you, and he's been after you. And you've been fighting, you've been resisting, and part of you says, man, I want to surrender, but man, there's this part of me that says no, and I'm here to tell you that God is saying yes. A gentleman came up to me this morning and said, I got saved 4 years ago when he preached. I got radically saved here at the church, and now I'm plugged in, now I'm serving. My life has totally been changed because I said yes to Jesus. You see, do you think that you did it? No, God just used me, but God could use anybody. But tonight is your night. God, I love North Campus. It's beautiful. Nobody moving. Every eye closed. You say, you know what, Benny Perez? I don't even understand it all, but I know I need to trust Jesus with my life. If that's you, when I say three, you're going to lift your hand up high. What are we going to do? All heaven's going to respond by shouting. We're going to just clap and shout, even if it's just one person. You ready? One. Come on, when I say three, just lift your hand high. That's you. Ready? Two. Come on, hands going up. Ready? One, two, and shoot your hand up high. Ready? One, two, and three. Just hold your hand high, high, high. Thank you. There's one. Thank you. There's two, three, four. Thank you. There's five. Thank you. There's six. There's seven. There's eight. Thank you. There's nine. Thank you. There's 10. Thank you. There's 11. Thank you. There's 12. Thank you. There's 13. Come on, let's give God a big hand clap, big old shout right now. One more time. The lady with the no greater shirt on, put your hand over your heart, please, for me. Father, I thank you for your great grace right now that's being released over her life right now. God says, I'm stopping the service just to highlight you. God says, I've heard your prayers. I've heard your cries even in the night. the trail of tears. I know. And I come to say, daughter, daughter, I love you. Daughter, I hear you. Daughter, I care for you. I am with you. I am for you. Power is released right now, all over you. Take it all. Boom. Bam, bam, just hit you. Boom. Woo. In Jesus' name. I don't know you, sir. Good-looking guy right there, glasses on your shirt. Yeah, you right there. I don't know you. All the guys are like, what? I love confident guys. Good-looking. No, the guy right here in the third row, right over here. Right over here. Right there, right there. Don't know anything about you, but just feel like God is drawing near to you. God would come and begin to, and here's the word that I get for you, and if you don't understand it, somebody could explain it to you. Maybe you do understand, because I don't know anything. But there's a unveiling, a revealing of himself to you in a different kind of a way. And I don't know, I just felt this as I was preaching. Felt really drawn to this section, but to this guy also right here. And God's for you, man. God's for you. God says, I'm with you. I'm for you. And you just Jesus, just acknowledging him in a greater way in your life is, we just begin to, it's amazing. About 14 or 15 people, anybody else that say, you know what, I need to raise my hand and trust Jesus. Anybody else that did not raise your hand, that did not raise your hand, that did not raise your hand. I know our eyes are open, but I'm a soul winner at heart. That's what I just love souls, man. I love souls. If the church has not seen people come into the kingdom, then we need to change things up. We exist. See, we're supposed to follow Jesus and fulfill his mission. At our church, we boil it down to follow and fulfill. That's it. We teach you how to follow Jesus and how to fulfill his mission. Simple. Go into all the world and make disciples of all men, teaching them all the things that I've told them to obey. That's it. It's very simple. And that's why you need to get plugged in, because at C3, we teach you what it means to follow Jesus. And then you get plugged into serving teams, all these other things, to help fulfill his mission. That's what we do. So anybody else before I pray? Anybody else? You look around across this great auditorium, packed out on a Sunday night. Hey, thank you. I see that another hand. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Anybody else? Come on, keep clapping, because something happens when you clap. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? 5, 4, 3. Anybody else? 2. Okay, let's pray this prayer. So I'll pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer together, will you? Say, dear Heavenly Father, right now, I turn and put my trust in Jesus Christ. I receive salvation. I receive forgiveness of sins. Say, Holy Spirit, come on in. I belong to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.